Test 6, Part 4. You will hear a discussion about examinations. For questions 24 to 30, choose the best answer, A, B or C. You now have 1 minute to look at Part 4.
Good evening and welcome to Straight Talk. I'm Lola Gardner. Tonight, I am joined by two educationists, Dr. Lydia Hopkins and Mr. Mark Mallard, who are going to talk to us about the advantages and disadvantages of examinations. But first, I'd like to share my feelings with you. I remember being petrified of exams as a young schoolgirl, and quite frankly, although I was quite good academically, I always felt bad when it came to sitting an exam. But let's see what Mr. Mallard has to say about exams. Mark?
Well, I can quite sympathise with you, Lola. So much importance is attached to exam results that many students tend to feel undue pressure. Being unhappy, feeling sick, having nightmares or even committing suicide are some of the possible side effects and results of examination stress. It is simply unethical to put students through this sort of thing.
Dr. Hopkins?
Well, while I sympathise with Mark, I don't really see an alternative. Projects, essays and any kind of coursework not written under the strict supervision of an invigilator provides ample opportunity for cheating and favouritism. At least with traditional exams, you can be certain that you're looking at the student's own work. Moreover, continual assessment isn't fair because it gives those with better access to books, the internet and outside help an advantage.
What do you mean, better access? All British colleges and universities provide students equal access.
Well, that's arguable, but certainly not all students have equal access to outside help.
You're clutching at straws now.
Mark, I've read that girls aren't as good at exams as boys are. Is there any truth in this assertion?
Actually, yes, there is. Boys perform better in exams. Generally speaking, they are more confident, more willing to take risks, and less worried about exam results than girls are. But now I'd like to discuss the point Dr. Hopkins made about exams being the only fair system of assessment. You see, I don't think exams are at all fair. Some people write faster than others, and some panic more. And quite apart from anything else, it's impossible to assess 11 years of schooling in an exam paper that lasts a few hours.
Yes, well, no one is saying it's a perfect system, Mark, but exams teach you how to cope with the big, bad world. You are forced to think fast, sort out your thoughts and information in your head, then get it all down on paper accurately and under extreme pressure and time constraints, just like you have to do very often in real life.
But surely, Dr. Hopkins, Are exams anything other than memory tests? You may be brilliant at history in the sense that you can interpret and understand, but what if your memory simply won't retain names and dates?
No, Lola. In the British education system, they're not simply memory tests. Interpreting and understanding play a large part in exams. It isn't just a matter of memorizing facts, you know. That's why you're asked to write essays and not lists of facts.
Well then, how about the poor students who suffer panic attacks on the day of the exam? And what if someone is feeling unwell on that particular day? And just think of all those students who stay up all night cramming as many last-minute facts as they can into their heads. Poor things. Come on now, you know exams are not objective. What if you happen to revise the wrong question? It's a lottery, isn't it?
Only for those who only ever study the night before the exam, Mark. Those who have been studying all year long do not need to cram at all. In fact, it is not at all advisable to cram the night before the exam. And as for revising the right topics, well, if you've been doing your homework, you'll know what to revise, you'll know what's important. Okay, yes, there is a little bit of luck involved in any test, but no more than the luck involved in doing a good piece of coursework or crossing the road and not being run over.
Now you'll hear part four again.
Good evening and welcome to Straight Talk. I'm Lola Gardner. Tonight, I am joined by two educationists, Dr. Lydia Hopkins and Mr. Mark Mallard, who are going to talk to us about the advantages and disadvantages of examinations. But first, I'd like to share my feelings with you. I remember being petrified of exams as a young schoolgirl, and quite frankly, although I was quite good academically, I always felt bad when it came to sitting an exam. But let's see what Mr. Mallard has to say about exams. Mark?
Well, I can quite sympathise with you, Lola. So much importance is attached to exam results that many students tend to feel undue pressure. Being unhappy, feeling sick, having nightmares, or even committing suicide are some of the possible side effects and results of examination stress. It is simply unethical to put students through this sort of thing.
Dr. Hopkins?
Well, while I sympathise with Mark, I don't really see an alternative. Projects, essays and any kind of coursework not written under the strict supervision of an invigilator provides ample opportunity for cheating and favouritism. At least with traditional exams, you can be certain that you're looking at the student's own work. Moreover, continual assessment isn't fair because it gives those with better access to books, the internet and outside help an advantage.
What do you mean, better access? All British colleges and universities provide students equal access.
Well, that's arguable, but certainly not all students have equal access to outside help.
You're clutching at straws now.
Mark, I've read that girls aren't as good at exams as boys are. Is there any truth in this assertion?
Actually, yes, there is. Boys perform better in exams. Generally speaking, they are more confident, more willing to take risks, and less worried about exam results than girls are. But now I'd like to discuss the point Dr. Hopkins made about exams being the only fair system of assessment. You see, I don't think exams are at all fair. Some people write faster than others, and some panic more. And quite apart from anything else, it's impossible to assess 11 years of schooling in an exam paper that lasts a few hours.
Yes, well, no one is saying it's a perfect system, Mark. But exams teach you how to cope with the big, bad world. You are forced to think fast, sort out your thoughts and information in your head, then get it all down on paper accurately and under extreme pressure and time constraints, just like you have to do very often in real life.
But surely, Dr. Hopkins, are exams anything other than memory tests? You may be brilliant at history, in the sense that you can interpret and understand, but what if your memory simply won't retain names and dates?
No, Lola. In the British education system, they're not simply memory tests. Interpreting and understanding play a large part in exams. It isn't just a matter of memorizing facts, you know. That's why you're asked to write essays and not lists of facts.
Well then, how about the poor students who suffer panic attacks on the day of the exam? And what if someone is feeling unwell on that particular day? And just think of all those students who stay up all night cramming as many last-minute facts as they can into their heads. Poor things. Come on now, you know exams are not objective. What if you happen to revise the wrong question? It's a lottery, isn't it?
Only for those who only ever study the night before the exam, Mark. Those who have been studying all year long do not need to cram at all. In fact, it is not at all advisable to cram the night before the exam. And as for revising the right topics, well, if you've been doing your homework, you'll know what to revise, you'll know what's important. Okay, yes, there is a little bit of luck involved in any test, but no more than the luck involved in doing a good piece of coursework or crossing the road and not being run over.
That's the end of part four. There will now be a pause of 5 minutes for you to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet.